Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you this morning. Praise the Lord, someone said, and pass the ammunition. Amen. We're going to need a lot of ammunition in the days that lie ahead. Welcome to Monday morning. I am Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We're broadcasting live right now on YouTube. And for those of you that would like to go to our YouTube page, we are at YouTube under New Wine Ministry Channel or New Wine Ministry TV. So if you'd like to check out the broadcast, New Wine Ministry TV, we want to welcome everybody on our YouTube channel. So we're thankful for that. We're also broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com/xman777 and omegaradio.org. And we're going to be expanding that to Facebook as well down the road. But right now, this is what we're doing. We have a platform to speak the word of the Lord, and that's what we're going to do today. But I do want to just begin by declaring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, that's what we've been called to preach, is the good news. And for those of you that have followed the ministry for any period of time, you have probably heard more prophetic edge declarations prophesying about trouble in our nation. That was not the original intent of God's heart when He created us. He created us to preach His gospel, the good news. And we do that. We want you to know that at our services, we just came off of a week of Feast of Tabernacles where we heard very little of anything but the bride and the bridegroom, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of our salvation, a people that are making themselves ready in spirit, soul, and body. I believe that we're a very balanced ministry. I believe that God has given us an unction, an ability to speak the word of the Lord, and it's a good word. It's a word of salvation, deliverance, restoration, healing, and the good news of the promise of God, eternal life. And I hope that you have given your heart to Jesus Christ. With all of my heart, I hope you have, and that your love for God is true, and that you have learned that God loves you, and His love for you is true as well. So having said that, we will continue to proclaim the good news of salvation. But, you know, the good news has never been so good until you realize how much trouble that you may be in. And today there are some folks that may be in a bit of trouble. And I want to tell you, whatever your trouble is, maybe it's financial, maybe it's health, maybe it's relationship, whatever it is, that there is good news. There is a Savior. He is the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He was known as Yeshua, the Messiah, and he is there as a salvation to your life. To this, there's no doubt. It's the only gospel in the world that can make such a claim, and this is the gospel that we preach. And that the bottom line at the end of the day, if you have not yet called out to Jesus Christ, if you have not yet reached out to Jesus Christ, it's time to do it. I mean, he loves you. I mean, this is love demonstrated, obviously. And perhaps you've heard this gospel for many, many, many years. And maybe there's been a rebellion. Maybe there's a defiance. Maybe there's something antagonistic against the gospel. Well, it's time to lay it down and allow the love of God to take you where he wants to bring you, which is eternal life with himself. So having said that, today, I've been praying about this for at least a week. I released a little bit of it yesterday on our KIRM radio broadcast, and I believe it's time to share it with you. I've sent it out for to some people that I trust, and I wanted to have them read this and to know whether or not what I'm about to share is something that bore witness with their heart or not. And what I'm going to do today is share a word with you who are listening, and I want to open the telephone lines after reading this, and I want to hear from you. I want to know your prayerful thoughts, your Holy Spirit-led interpretation, and does this word bear witness to you? And I want to just say this from the beginning. In my life personally, I've written over 2,000 pages of prophecy, teachings, exhortations. Through the years, I've done a lot of writing, and I realize that there are times where we get into the flesh and we speak things out of our own passion or zeal, but they were not tempered words. And I do understand that. I understand that I think one of the great prophets within our nation, which is kind of a sad indictment when you think about it, when it comes to being a prophet or prophesying. But one of the great prophets in our nation said that the very best prophesy about 80% accuracy. Now, the prophets in the Bible were 100% accurate. Even the prophet Jonah, he was accurate in what he was saying. God just put a delay on it for a period of time. So the prophetic word is something that is meant, in my belief, to provoke an awakening in the heart and mind of people. And I do know that when a prophetic word goes forth, there are times where God says, nothing is going to change my mind about what I'm saying. That was in the days of Jeremiah. And yet, I know that when Jeremiah began to prophesy, that if the people would have humbled themselves like the Assyrian king when Jonah went to to Nineveh, if they would have repented, God could have put a delay on things. And I do understand that. So let me shift for just a moment about the prophetic word I'm going to share with you. And I want to talk about what happened this morning with al-Baghdadi, the supposed death of al-Baghdadi as the world leaders were in their chamber watching the invasion, is what we've been told. And President Donald Trump said it was like watching a TV movie, and it probably was. I also know that when President Donald J. Trump came to the podium and spoke what was written on the board, that al-Baghdadi died like a baby, he died like a coward, he took his kids with him, et cetera, et cetera. That may have been a bit provocative to the Islamic world, time will tell, to ISIS members. And I do realize that King David, when he was battling Goliath, he said, you're going to die like a dog today. You know, maybe he was from New York City too. I don't know. Probably not. He was in Israel, wasn't he? So anyways, I know that there's a place for victory shouts. I know that when the enemy's taunting you and he's defying the purposes of God, that a warrior like King David would come to power and kick some butt and just say, hey, this is the way it is, and kind of boast in that. However, we do have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. What is our problem? Well, the problem with our boasting at this moment, boasting to the world that if you're an enemy of America, you're in trouble, we're going to hunt you down, we're going to kill you, we're coming after you. The problem is, while we're boasting this, that we see so much lewdness being exposed within our nation. We see so much corruption within our nation. I mean, it's not what we're doing outside of the country when we export all of our evils to the ends of the earth. That's bad enough. But it's what we have done within our nation. It is the corruption within, the mass murder of 80, 90, 100 million innocent babies in the wombs of mothers. And then we're finding that many of these aborted babies are being sold. Their body parts are being sold in the marketplace. And people got rich off of the mass murder or the shedding of innocent blood. I mean, that's pretty bad. And when your world leaders or your national leaders, like in New York, want to not only allow for abortion, but full-term abortion, where the baby is literally outside the womb, the mother and the doctor can have a conversation whether they should let it live or not, and then actually kill the baby. That's what they were advocating within our nation. And not only were the innocent, and there was a big political argument about this, whether or not, you know, a fetus was a living thing or not. I've come to my conclusions through a biblical lens that life is in the blood. That's what the Word of God says. So life is in the blood. And so wherever there's a fetus, there are tissue, there's tissue and there's blood and there are cells. And so life is in the blood. So within a fetus, there is blood. The Word of God also says to Jeremiah the prophet, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And then I ordained you to be a prophet when you came forth out of the womb. Before you came forth out of the womb, I ordained you to prophet. What's the point? God knew that who Jeremiah was when he was a fetus, as we call it today, when he was just mass, blood, tissue, and cells. God had foreknowledged him. So the mass murder of the innocent lives within our nation and around the world is a very deep offense against God. This has been going on for an entire generation, and many people thought, well, God obviously is not opposed to this because God hasn't really done anything. And it's the same thing with the abominable sin of homosexuality and lesbianism, which we've now promoted within our society, and we've legalized it from the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States, and we've made this a legal mandate that men can marry men and women marry women. And in a society that wants to boast civil rights and that type of thing, that's fine. But within a society that knows better, that understands that the Word of God calls this particular sin an abomination, this is such a horrific crime against humanity, against God. Men with men can never reproduce, can never procreate, can never bring forth offspring. Women with women cannot do it either. And so this is a real turning. So these are pretty bad sins. These are criminal offenses. And because of these, just these basic two particular sins within our nation, regardless of the political climate, these two particular sins have drawn the wrath of men and women who believe they have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak out, to prophesy against a nation that participates in this kind of criminal activity against Yahweh God. And so for years, for generations, we've heard it all the way back to David Wilkerson and Dimitri Dudeman and so many other men, holy men and women of God, who proclaim to America, you're on the wrong track. You're going in the wrong direction. If you don't repent, you're going to suffer. And quite frankly, there's nobody that could stand up today and say, well, God just isn't interested. Nothing bad has ever happened to us. That would be a real ignorant thing to say, particularly since 9/11, 2001, when the wake-up call came. Our nation has been riddled with all kinds of horrible things, from school shootings to mass murders. I mean, we don't even want to take the time to go there. You know as well as I do that we are constantly in chaos, whether it's flooding, whether it's the fires in California, which are burning once again, regardless of what it is, the school shooting, the church shooting, the concert shooting, the mall shooting. I mean, go on down the list. We have a psychological problem in America. The psyche of our nation has been terribly, terribly blemished. And this is just the raw reality. This is the truth. And yet in the midst of it, we have our football games, we have our World Series, we have life as usual. And I would remind everybody about the Titanic when it had struck the iceberg, supposedly, and before it was going down, that the orchestra came out on the deck and continued to play the music, and the people continued to dance with their finest clothing on. And meanwhile, the ship was ready to go down. And I do know that we live in an age of propaganda, and there's a tremendous amount of propaganda in these psychological wars that are going on everywhere. We could go on down the list of all the different things, but there's something that has happened that I believe we need to be tuned into, very specifically something that has happened to provoke once again the righteous anger in the heart of men and women of God who have been apprehended by the Spirit of God to speak the words of God. And again, I have to believe that a true prophet will have, even in the case of Jonah, he prophesied the truth, he spoke the truth, it was just put on delay for about 100 years, and then his words were finally fulfilled. But I believe that the words of the prophets are 100% accurate when they're spoken by God. I do believe that the words of the prophets could provoke repentance and the words of the Lord would be stayed. I do believe that. So I have a word. I want to share it with you. And I want you to be the judge. I want you to be the judge. Last week, after coming out of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a feast of glory, it was a feast of unprecedented, joyful fellowship with the body of Christ. Hardly anything was spoken in the realm of doom or gloom or negativity, if you will, but just about everything was building up the body of Christ, preparing the church, the glorious ecclesia, the called out ones. It was about a love relationship. It was about an intimacy, a wedding between the bride and the bridegroom. We had over 14 speakers that brought forth basically the same message with a few little, you know, tidbits of information about other things going on. But for the most part, it was intended by Yahweh God to encourage his people, to build something on the inside of his people, to strategically download information, revelation through impartation to so that God's people would be able to stand in the days that lie ahead. We knew that going into this, that God was making his people pressure-proof and giving them hope for something that lie ahead, which is beyond all of our expectation and comprehension, the marriage between the bride and the bridegroom. I mean, so we understand that. We get that. We know the gospel of God's love and mercy and grace. We understand his unmerited favor. We get that. We have been immersed in that. We love God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and healing. And I realize that we've been called to love one another. I realize that. And so we spent that time together. We understand the gospel. We understand that God loves and he is love. We get that. But I think something has gone amiss. And I want to share some thoughts with you before I read this prophetic word. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, I want you to listen carefully because this is noted three times in the gospel. Three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I want you to listen carefully because there are certain things that mankind does, like abortion. They pass laws for this, that, and the other thing, right? We drink, we smoke, we party, we do this, that, and the other. I get that, all right? The world is the world. It's broken, it's sick, it needs salvation. We get it. But then there are things that we do that really trouble the heart of the Father. And I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. And I could take it right from the beginning, but maybe I should. Let me just go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Or let me start in verse 1. Here's what verse 1 says. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. What did he do? He brought a little child, not a fetus, not a baby in the womb, but a little child, and said in verse 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So this is all about little children. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones. Now that word offend is scandalizo. Okay. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, hurt one of these little ones, harm one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him, the one who harms them, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Wow. That's powerful. It's better to have a millstone. I've seen a millstone. Have you seen a millstone? They're massive round rocks that are used for grinding, okay? They're huge. They're massive. And it would be better for the individual that hurts or harms or traps or scandalizes or scandalizes a little child, it would be better for them to have this millstone wrapped around their neck and cast into the sea. And then in verse 7, Jesus said, woe unto the world. Now, I didn't say this. Jesus said this. Woe unto the world because of offenses or scandalizo or their harm. And he's in connection with little children. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. In other words, it's going to happen. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I looked at that and I said, okay, Lord, that's a pretty heavy word right there. And I'll give you the exact meaning of the word offense, where it says, but whosoever shall offend. And the Greek word there is scandalizo, as I said. And the meaning of that word is to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the way. So when you put a stumbling block to a little child's future, okay, or you put some impediment in the way, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, physically, okay, it also means upon which another may trip and fall, okay? And then it talks about to entrap, and you're talking here about the soul, the emotion. How many children have been offended or abused when they were young or little, that have lived their entire life on this earth crippled? Okay. So there's a trap here, and it talks about being enticed to sin or to cause apostasy to take place in the life. And this is very important, very powerful. Now, the same exact scripture comes in Mark 9:42. And I'll just read it quickly. Jesus said in Mark 9:42, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Jesus repeated this in Luke 17, verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. All right, and now verse 1 of Luke 17 said, then said the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. So what is this? What are we talking about, this millstone? Well, I want to share with you what I'm simply going to call the millstone prophecy. The millstone prophecy. Last week, when I heard about the seven-year-old boy, and I thank God for Senator Ted Cruz and the others that are stepping up in this case, I do thank God for that. That's amazing. But what was happening is that this little seven-year-old boy was living in a divided home. Mom and dad were divorced. You know the story. And while he was at home, his mother was calling him Luna, putting fingernail polish, putting wigs on him and dresses, and calling him a girl. And he kind of flowed with his mom, who had this very deep desire to have her son become a girl. He would go to his father's house. He didn't want to wear girls' clothes. He didn't want to wear anything. He just wanted to be a boy. James wanted to be a boy, a seven-year-old boy. So the court in Texas ruled in favor of the mother and would not allow the father to have this sole custody to raise his son as a boy. Now, this is one case, but you know by now that transgenderism in America is violently, aggressively rising within our nation and around the world. I mean, we're talking about one case that is setting a precedence, and that's why they choose these cases in places like Texas, which used to be the most conservative place on the planet, as I understand it, because they want to overthrow the ancient laws of morality, and they want to promote the laws of immorality. The homosexual community, Sam, a friend of mine from way Northern California, years ago told me, and I'm going to get him back on this broadcast, about the violent movement of the homosexual community that would come upon our nation. He said it would be more violent than ISIS or Al-Qaeda or terrorism. And it's here. And it's, again, a stealth jihad into every fabric of our society. So this little boy was being ripped in two by mother and father. And there's still proceedings going on, and the court will rule. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of bad rulings in the Supreme Court and in courts across this country. But while I was watching it and listening to it, I heard this in my spirit about the millstone. I remembered in the scripture, if you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better for you to have a millstone. Now, this is on the heels of Jeffrey Epstein, Pedophile Island, thousands of political, high-powered politicians, including Bill Clinton and a whole host of others that hung out with Jeffrey Epstein, the great pedophile, who was using underage females, little boys, little girls, in the most gruesome, gross, ugly ways. These little children. I mean, the skirt was lifted up, the exposure came, and what we found out is that a huge majority of political people around the world were involved in this kind of sexual misconduct with little boys and little girls. We have seen homosexual men with little boys between them. We have seen grown men wearing diapers, falling on the ground in New York, the streets of New York being filmed. The ugliness has been so buried and underground for so long, but it's coming up now. And it's coming out into the open. Well, I'm glad that we're told that al-Baghdadi, the ISIS leader, is dead. That's really neat. The provocation that he died like a coward. Okay, I get that boast. But my question is, how can we boast of killing this guy hanging out in a cave somewhere? How can we boast when our nation is filled with shame and disgrace of pedophilia that they've totally swept out of the news? Nobody's bringing it out. Now they're saying that all these arrests are coming. We'll see. There have been some arrests. But our nation isn't just, it's not just committing acts of crime through abortion and pedophilia and transgenderism and homosexuality and pornography, all the sexual perversions. But we're involved in all kinds of things that are anti-Christ, anti-God, and you would say, well, in our society, that's our liberty. Everybody has a freedom to choose, civil rights. We have a right. We're human beings. Conduct ourselves anyway. Even though at one time we were deemed twice by the Supreme Court of the United States to be a Christian nation, okay? We've heard all these things. I believe we've crossed a line. And even though these things have been going on within our society, the covers come off. the skirts are lifted, and the exposure has come. So what is it? Well, I'm going to share with you what I believe is the word of the Lord, and you be the judge. I'll open the telephone lines, but I want to share this with you today, the Millstone Prophecy, October 28th, 2019. Like a millstone around the neck and cast into the sea, so shall America be plunged into the depth of horror. O America, you have not provoked ISIS or other terror organizations around the world, but you have provoked me, saith the Lord. I have heard of all the ugly things you have done, yet I have come down unto you to see if what I have heard was true. And you, like the sons of Sodom and Gomorrah, have testified against yourselves that you are cruel and defiant and lewd. Therefore, I am releasing a millstone from the heavens and binding you to it, saith the Lord, and you shall drown in the violence of your evil ways. You have offended my heart, like your harlot mother, who also denied my presence in exchange for the glory of nations. And I tell you now that your glory shall be turned into shame and disgrace. Your nation shall weep and bemoan the loss of many. You ask, how have we offended you, or what evil have we done? You have offended the little ones, and their blood testifies against you. You have murdered and slaughtered the most innocent, and have made booty of the children, and have given them over to the perverse actions of the most perverse people within your society. I have used your enemies within your gates to expose what you would not, and you shall see the covers ripped off and the nakedness of your shame exposed. The leaders of America make their boast in their power and intelligence, and are nothing short of the Babylonians in their day who boasted of their power. I will make the land dark and show my power, saith the Lord. For I am not a respecter of persons, and I hold no man in admiration except the man who does my will from the heart. I will first bind three cities to the millstone and plunge them into darkness, saith the Lord. Los Angeles, New York, and Washington, D.C. Your pride has deceived you, and now you are days away from experiencing the madness that you have sown to the ends of the earth. I called you to repentance, but you would not. Look, listen, the sound of a millstone coming from the skies, plunging the nation into the depth of the sea. Darkness, silence, a new era begins in the purpose of God. You be the judge. I believe that this is true. I'm speaking it forth. I believe that God, his heart, is offended deeply. And I believe the exposure of this wickedness of transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbianism, and pedophilia, all coupled with the pornographic, sensual, perverse nature, has reached a tipping point. And I believe that we being weighed in the balance. Now, again, we should all be rejoicing that al-Baghdadi, the ISIS leader, is dead. But we're not rejoicing because of our hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of rejoicing over the death of a guy that threatened our country while our little children are being raped and murdered and their feces eaten by the Hollywood elite, and the bloodletting, and the demonic. How can we boast? I'm going to leave it right there for right now, and I'm going to open the telephone lines. And if you have a question or a comment, the number to call is 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. And all you need to do is press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you into the conversation and hear from you. If you have a comment on our YouTube page, we are on YouTube right now under the New Wine Ministry TV. If you go to that channel, New Wine Ministry TV, we are broadcasting live on video. And I'm just laying this word forth, and I'm not giving a date. I believe that the prophets have spoken from Dimitri Dudeman, and I believe they were true prophets. We're talking about the greatest nation on the face of the earth. When it collapses, the house of cards around the world is going to be sent into chaos, absolute, unadulterated chaos and confusion. So I have my first call coming in this morning. We're going to talk to Patricia Joy Xavier on 858. Good morning, Patricia. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. What a sad indictment, but it's true. The Bible tells us that we reap what we have sown. And when we do reap what we have sown, we reap the whirlwind. And yet I do not blame this nation for what has taken place. I blame the church because the hypocrisy of the only symbol of righteousness has also performed abominations and lived in those abominations. And many within the church itself have not repented from their wicked work and their ways and their thoughts. And my heart grieves over the church of God, which is the representation of righteousness in this world that should be the example, unmovable. When these things were voted upon and taken place in our administration, we did very little as the church of God. And my grief is the church. I believe we need to repent and ask God's forgiveness for the allowance and for those that also within the body of Christ have done the very same things you have been speaking of. How then could he judge only by his true church? Now the time has come for the release of judgment, and his love is to protect the remnant that still believes that which is right to do and do so. So that's my heart on it. And it is a grievous heart at this time.
Well, thank you for your comments, Patricia. You know, as you're talking, I just remember, and I do believe, and maybe this is a lesson in our, you know, conversation, you know, those of you tuning in saying, you know, what is prophecy? You know, what is this all about? How does this work? I happen to believe, and I'm a very firm believer in this, that as a New Testament believer, that I have every right to go back and look at the prophets who prophesied in their generation, because the Apostle Paul taught the church at Corinth that when we do that, when we look back at what was done in the Old Testament, that we learn who God is. Because we know that God never changes. We know that covenants have changed, but God is the same. There's no improvement to him. There's no anger management classes for God. There's no adjustment necessary for God. God is God, and he loves righteousness, and he hates wickedness. Okay? And at some point, God puts it in the heart of the prophets to speak what he's going to do. And I believe that the prophets have spoken a clarion call for a generation in our nation. different men, different women, different vessels, different voices, but the same message warning this nation. I believe that we've just crossed into this territory that is different. It's different. You want to go out and do crazy things as an adult, go ahead. You want to make a political issue about murdering little babies in the womb because they've never come to full form, okay. Yet their blood is still on your hands. But when you start, and I guess this has been going on since the Roman Empire and back, no doubt about it, but within a society that is a Judeo-Christian nation that is allowed in one generation to take place what has happened, do you understand how darkened the mind of the people in our society is? Do you understand how darkened the mind of people that go to church is? Do you understand that? People don't even know what salvation is today. They believe salvation is going to heaven. There are people sucking up and soaking up lies everywhere, just everywhere. The truth is going to hurt. The truth is going to hurt. I'm waiting for your call. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 605 and say, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello, Ken.
Good morning. What ends up happening is the Bible ends up in the Old Testament. It's talking about a hand for a hand, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. Baghdadi got exactly what the Bible says, as well as what he has taught to his people through the Muslim religion right along, because of the fact that he was part of the ISIS and was teaching the people that they were to sacrifice their life for Islam.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that your comment, Ken?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, that's always good when justice comes to a situation. The problem that I have with what's going on in our society is we're boasting about killing a man in a cave over in Syria. And yet there are high-powered politicians within our society that are doing the most evil, wicked things throughout our society. And I believe that we are very hypocritical as a nation. We are just absolutely filled with hypocrisy. And so I'm personally having a very difficult time rejoicing that al-Baghdadi is dead, because just another will come to power.
Well, and with that, it turns out that we are guilty also, just like you said, because, I mean, it's still an eye for an eye, a hand for a hand, and a life for a life. And what we're doing in our country is we are taking those lives.
That's right. That's right. And yet we're taking the lives of little babies, little children. Our offense is worse than al-Baghdadi's offense, quite frankly. Now, I'm not saying they don't do the same thing in their society, but they have denied the Father. They have denied the Son. We're a nation that's riddled with churches on every corner, and we boast about, you know, being, you know, the church does anyways. We're a Christian nation, and yet these things are going on in our society. So, yeah, I get that. I get that. I get justice is always good, and I appreciate that point of view. It is. But I'm kind of weighing it and thinking, all right, al-Baghdadi's dead. We haven't heard from him for years anyways. You know, ISIS has been, you know, out of the picture. They've already appointed a new leader for that group. But I wonder, you know, in the Bible with prophecy, if justice will now come to our own country. And this is where in Isaiah chapter 10, where he says this, and I'll just read this briefly, and I've read it several times. But in verse 3, God says, that's in Jeremiah. So in Isaiah chapter 10, he says, I'm going to send this nation, which was the Assyrians. They were the cruelest of nations. He said, I'm going to send him against a hypocritical nation and the people of my wrath. And God was literally calling Israel the hypocritical nation and the people of his wrath. and God was raising up the Assyrian to come and do the damage. And I see that hypocrisy within our nation, but I'll leave it there for now.
Let me ask him.
Okay, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Hang on just a minute, Vincent.
Okay.
Vincent, do you feel, too, that possibly the news media has distorted so much of our what's been going on in the years past with our past presidents even, and now, like you said, the blanket is being taken off and the skirts are lifted up, and now this man, who is President Trump, is trying to be used of God to unconceal all this. So the news media has lied to the American people. But this thing in Deuteronomy, you know, when there was war, apparently God allowed that to happen, a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth, and all that, because that might be justice. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, this is important because I voted for Donald J. Trump, and I can honestly say that there's an appreciation in my heart for things that he wanted to do. But what I heard today was quite troubling to me. When I turned on the news and I heard Mike Pompeo and the president and the leaders saying, you know, this is a message to the world. You mess with us, you know. And I thought, man, that's the sound of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who said, look at my great empire. Look what I have done. And rather than humbly addressing this issue and rejoicing and then condescending to the idea that, you know, our nation is not guiltless and we are not innocent for what we have done, the same thing could happen to us. But instead, I heard the boast of Babylon, and that concerned me deeply. And I just wonder if anybody else heard the boast of Babylon.
I think we've crossed the line, like you said. The Lord gave you that word. We've crossed the line, and it's a fine line here, and the people are not repenting in America.
Well, maybe it's a real time to wake up. Kathy, thanks for the call, and thank you for the call from you and Ken up in South Dakota. I believe they would bear witness that the Feast of Tabernacles was on a totally other track, dealing with the goodness of the gospel and the relationship that we have in Christ. These are national issues and political issues, and we're honestly not called to preach them, but we are told to make aware of the things that are going on in our society. We need to be prepared. Waiting for your call. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. And then press 1 on your dial pad and I'll bring you into the conversation. America. America. The boast is that we are the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and yet the testimony and the witness in our generation is that we have turned away from the Lord. We have forsaken the Lord. We have exported pornography. We have exported abortion to the ends of the earth. We have done some things that, how do you boast being great? I want to ask you a question. What is great about America today, right now, in its present form? What is great? From a biblical perspective, what makes America great in the eyes of God through the lens of Scripture? I'm asking for you to tell me what makes us great. Our democracy? I don't know what your answer may be. What makes America great today? In light of the fact of everything that's taking place within our society. You know, God has some unfinished business in this country. We have seen, if you understand Bible prophecy, if you understand the Scriptures, we have seen judgment hit our nation since 9/11, 2001, particularly. Judgment. What is it? Well, I've said it so many times that there are a number of Greek words that tell us what judgment is. And one of those Greek words is krisis, where we get our English word crisis. And if you have not witnessed the crises within our nation, then I don't know where you are in your thinking, but there is a crisis upon our land. And to deny the crisis is to deny the judgment, and then it doesn't allow for us to understand why the crisis. God will allow judgment, and God will allow crises to hit a nation or an individual to wake them up, to turn them around and get them going in the right direction. But when an individual or a nation rejects the discipline of judgment, who rejects the crises as a gift from God to let us know we're going in the wrong direction, and rather proceed in the wrong direction defiantly, like we have done in our nation through the Supreme Court of the United States. We defiantly promoted what God hates. Well, now the nation goes from judgment to wrath. Judgment to wrath, to punishment on a higher level. One of the great prophecies to really look at is in Leviticus chapter 26. It tells us of the seven judgments of the Lord that are used to turn a nation back, but when they reject them, it goes to another cycle, a higher cycle. I've preached this for years. So I'm wanting to know what makes America great today for you. Let's take a call coming in from area code 941. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hold on. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I know. I could tell. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I think America is great because we endure. And the Bible says that he who endures to the end will be saved. And that's one thing about America that makes it great. We never let go of our roots. Even though we are trying to be stripped of our Constitution, we still have Christians praying, believers in this country throughout the land, and we're holding on to our Savior.
Okay, and that's a great point, but I want to ask you, when it says we've held on to our roots, it seems like the foundation has been forsaken, and the laws that have been promoted has brought a whole generation of young people, particularly, into an ideology that is anything but what the root system of our nation was. How do you speak into that?
I'm still back to God dividing goats and the sheep. There's not going to be a punishment as a whole in America for the majority of the people. We still have the remnant who will hold us down until Jesus comes. I believe we're blessed and we are a Christian nation. And so I don't think God's going to punish everybody. I think he'll just come at the right time, that's all.
Okay, so it's possible that the righteous judgment of God and the things that are happening in our country and will happen, that God's righteous remnant will walk through and they will go right through and endure to the end of that tribulation. Well, I totally agree with that. And you brought up an excellent point. And we have someone on YouTube that kind of echoed this as well, that judgment is always designed by God to bring about separation, to separate the man from his sin, to separate the nation from its sin. And so when God is bringing judgment upon a nation, like all the crazy things that we see, it is intended by God to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff. And when it goes unheeded and we remain in the middle and we become lukewarm or compromised in any way, that's where more wrath begins to step in. And I don't know. We're going to see. Time will tell. But I appreciate. Go ahead.
Okay. I also say we're going to be frustrated in times to come, because just for the simple reason that the wicked will be rewarded just because of the righteous, because this country is going to be blessed. God's going to see us through to the end. And because of that, the wicked are going to reap the rewards of the righteous just because they live in our land. And that'll be frustrating to watch that happen. But I don't think we're going to be judged as a whole in the land. I think we are in poised and positioned to be the conquerors that God called us to be. We're just going to see a lot of judgment within the land until he comes again.
You know, Danny, let me just throw this out. It's a great conversation. I appreciate your zeal for this country. We have watched in Pittsburgh and Florida and in different places where the skirts of the priest have been lifted up. We've been watching men with the prosperity gospel. We've been seeing people committing adultery, fornication, homosexuals in the pulpits. I'm talking about the church now. I'm talking about the thousands of young boys that were used in pedophile rings within our country, within the church. And I think the judgment that is with the church is that this young generation basically wants nothing to do with it. And the and basically in most of your conferences, what you see, not all together, there are some out there that are raising up the youth, and I praise God for that. But they need to be really educated and built up and made strong to endure the pressure that's coming. So we've seen a lot of ugly things in the church, divided, division, and et cetera, et cetera. And things that go on in the world, going on in the church, how do you justify God simply just saying, well, you're the church, so it's okay?
Well, God, hold on a second. Somebody's at the door.
Okay.
God doesn't justify sin, but hold on. You caught me. You got me on my heels. This is a good question. Somebody's at the door. Okay.
Someone's knocking. Don't. Okay.
Somebody's at the door. We got to answer it. So, yeah, God's not justifying sin, but he doesn't lift his hand of favor off his people. I don't know how to answer that. You asked such a good question at a good time. I'm sorry.
All right. Danny, thank you so much, man. We're going to continue the conversation. We appreciate you calling in. Again, we're not trying to be, you know, the Old Testament prophet, you know, standing up in loincloth somewhere eating locust and honey. That's not the point here. Something happened and I'm sharing it there. You know, this has been on the radar for a long time, and it's almost like with each passing day, God becomes more justified. And our earlier caller, my beloved wife, Patricia, made a very profound statement that the church is responsible for what's going on in our country right now. And so judgment begins in the house of God, and we have seen the lewdness of the world, in the church. And this is very disheartening, and I do believe there's a remnant. And I do believe there are those that are destined to overcome, but get your big boy boots on, I guess, is the only thing to say, because we're about to trod through some pretty mucky mire in the days ahead. And what are those days? What days are we talking about? What days are we referring to? We're coming to the most controversial moment in the history of our nation. Do you feel it? Do you sense it with the 2020 elections? I mean, the provocation that just went out in the spirit of pride, not humility, and the humility should have been coupled with the gross sins that we commit as a nation, and yet we spoke like we were the most innocent people on the world, that we're going to defy the whole world. If you mess with us, you're going down, and yet we have messed with God, and that seems so hypocritical and so dangerous. So dangerous. But listen, I've run out of time. I've got to get rolling here. We're going to continue to broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Omega Radio Network. We listened to it all night last night. Some of the greatest broadcast from everywhere on Omega Radio. God bless the people. So get there if you want to continue listening to some good radio broadcast. There's a Deliverance Roundtable discussion coming up right after this broadcast. Continue to go forward. We'll see you tomorrow. On YouTube, thanks for letting your friends know. And if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is New Wine Ministry TV, New Wine Ministry TV, we'll see you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on YouTube. And we've got to say goodbye now to all of our Blog Talk friends on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for the call-ins. I appreciate it. Would you keep all of these things in prayer and let us know what God says to you? And until we meet again, I'm Pastor Vince. Shalom and God bless. We're going to say goodbye, first of all, to our YouTube friends. Shalom and thanks for joining us on the broadcast. Love to hear from you again. And to our friends over in the Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. Right before I leave, I want to make sure that we get our broadcast going on Omega Radio. So goodbye on Omega Radio. And we're going to start that broadcast. And then finally to our friends on Blog Talk, Shalom. We'll talk to you real soon.